we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Yeah. I'm not sure our video editing team really ever understood that this sermon series had nothing to do with Tim Allen. My name is Chris Blewett, and I want to welcome everybody to Redemption Church. I believe we ought to have a little fun at church. It's all right to have a little fun, even look at weird internet videos. My name is Chris Blewett, and I want to welcome everybody in the room. All of you wonderful, beautiful people, thank you for being here in the room today. And thank you, everybody online. I'm sure all of you are beautiful as well. Thank you for checking us out. Thank you for going ahead and sharing it, liking it. And I'm ready to preach to you. Yeah, I want to tell you that the bumper videos in this sermon series have been terrible, but the truth in God's Word has been life-changing, all right? We've been talking about building, fixing, and maintaining your home, which is also like your life, your career, your physical, your bank account, your relationships, all of the above. You need to learn how to build, how to fix, how to maintain. If you missed any of the previous weeks, feel free to check them out on our website, redemption-church.com. Today, I want to talk to you about a very spiritual and often overlooked topic. It's the topic of inheritance. Can you say inheritance? Inheritance. So we've talked about building a home, but are you just building a home for you? We've talked about fixing a home. Are you just fixing it for you, or will others be affected by your work? All right. And we've talked about maintaining your home. Are you just watching out for your investment? Or perhaps are you hoping to one day pass this investment on to the next generation? What is an inheritance? You probably know. An inheritance is the transmission of goods to another generation. All right. A lot of things can be left as inheritance. A house and land is one of the major things left as inheritance. Many mothers hand down jewelry to their daughters. That's a form of inheritance. Money in a bank account, right? It's something that can be left behind as inheritance. We could give a large list of things that can be inherited. Do you have anything that has been handed down to you from the previous generation? We'd like to hear about it. We have an anonymous text line. Throw that number up there, 214-856-0550. Tell us what you've received from the previous generation, maybe from your mom, dad, or your grandparents. What was handed down to you as an inheritance? Go ahead and text us about it, 214-856-0550. I'll tell you about mine. Our family has a handheld telescope from the mid-1800s. And it's been handed down from the previous generations, obviously. And so we're talking the days of pioneers. And so I look forward to passing this object down to my children, all right? I can just imagine who has touched this telescope and what they saw through it. Sometimes the value of an inherited object is just the knowledge that someone held it before you. And we've got things like that. I was asking my dad, what is something that's been inherited in our family? And he told me about old Sharpie. And Sharpie's not a magic marker. Old Sharpie was, we got a groan. Oh, so disappointed. Old Sharpie is an old knife. It was an old kitchen knife, and it was used so much that it wore down and became very, very sharp, and now it became the fruit paring knife. And so he told me about old Sharpie. It's from the 1700s in our family in the Carolinas. And so old Sharpie, these things, how valuable is a handheld telescope to me today, intrinsically? I don't use a handheld telescope very much. I don't cut many apples, but the fact that these were held by the previous generation, that brings great value to me today. Inheritance. Is inheritance a biblical idea?
Yes.
Oh, you better believe it. Inheritance is an incredibly biblical idea. And it's one that we need to practice. I want to tell you real quick, I want to teach you that inheritance is rooted in the past. Just like old Sharpie I told you about, just like that handheld telescope, it's rooted in the past. I can't help but think about the past when I touch those objects. We see this idea all throughout the Bible also, how inheritance is rooted in the past. There are multiple locations in scriptures where long lists of genealogies are written out. Have you seen those places in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes, you have. All right. We're talking stuff like Adam begat Seth, Seth begat Enos, Enos begat Kenan, and it just goes on and on and on. I remember as a kid, we were reading our Bible at night. We were going to read through the whole Bible in a year, and we got to Chronicles, and we got to these parts, and I'm just like, will it ever end? I wasn't a big fan of all these lineages at the time. But now as I've grown up and I've learned the importance of the past, I look at these verses entirely different. We know the lineage from Adam all the way to Jesus. It's written in your Bible, that genealogy, in Luke chapter 3. The past is important and needs to be remembered. We are so busy thinking about the future, we're so busy living in the now that we don't think about the past. You might get bored at reading all those difficult to pronounce names. You may think, why is this important? Why is it important that I remember this guy's name? And there's some really funky names there in the Bible, absolutely. I want to tell you, if that's what you're thinking, I want to tell you you're missing the entire point. You're missing the entire point of how God views us and how God loves us. If you're thinking, why is this important? This is just old news. This matters not to me. It's not important that you remember them. What's important is that God remembers them. I want you to think about that second. There are people that have forgotten you. You've walked up to people, you've shaken their hands, and they turned around and immediately forgot your name. They forgot, except for Leroy, we all remember him. But all of us, you know, we're forgotten by so many people. God's never forgotten you.
That's right.
And all these people in the Bible, their names written down. Why? Because God has never, ever forgotten them. I have no idea what they look like. God knows what they look like. God had the numbers of their hair numbered. He had their hair numbered. He knew great details about their life, cared for them, and walked with them. God doesn't forget people like you and I forget people. How many know? It's absolutely true. You meet somebody, and one of the worst things is you say, and what's your name? And they say their name, and immediately you forget their name. You've done that?
Yeah.
It's so terrible. And it's like, what's your name again? Oh, Chidera. Got it. I remember. Noah, who could forget that name? If you can pronounce it, you can remember it. Chidera. So glad to see Chidera here today. You got to remember names, and we aren't so good at that. God's never forgotten your name.
Amen.
God, Jesus, God wrapped in flesh, walks up to that tree. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. He looks up to that tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, calls the man by name. Do you know that God's never forgotten your name? He calls you by name. He knows how to call you. We've got another story in the Bible. Little dude, little boy, woke up in the middle of the night because he keeps hearing somebody say, Samuel, saying his name, calling him Samuel, Samuel. He later found out that was God calling his name. You know God knows your name? You know God's going to know your name if he tarries 1,000 years from now, a millennia from now. He will never, ever, ever forget your name.
Amen.
He'll never forget it. So what's important is not that you remember them, but that God remembers them. Don't be disappointed if someone forgets who you are. Remember that God remembers who you are always. Every person listed in those genealogies is someone God knows. God intimately knows every one of them. And God loved every one of them. God made this wonderful salvation plan that we preach about all the time. He made it for them also. He made it for them. The past is important to God. So is it important to you? Is it important to you? I've got to confess that it's a sad thing that we have trouble naming our family like past our grandparents, past our great-grandparents. How far can you name past? How your lineage, I mean, this is important. Without that, you've seen Back to the Future. If anything happens to you, you disappear from the pictures. You don't exist without this lineage. So do you remember past your grandparents, the names? Do you know those names? Do you know those details? Is there anything you've got there? Is the past important to you? I want to tell you today, it is important to God.
Amen.
I am blessed that our family has our own cemetery. Yeah, our family has its own cemetery. It's kind of weird. Every year, we have something called a cemetery working, and every once in a while, people ask, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm going, oh, I'm going to a cemetery work, and they're like, what is that? When I was a kid, I thought that was a really weird thing. As I've aged, I've become aware of how wonderful it is to have something that is uniquely mine and my family, and I walk down those aisles, and I see previous lineage gone before me, and I actually get to tend their gravesite. There are many graves at this one location. It's called Hoover's Valley Cemetery, just outside of Burnet, Texas. There are many graves there from the 1800s. We're talking early pioneers. There are many graves of people that were not killed in the Civil War, but actually killed coming back from the Civil War. And there's all kinds of interesting stories, but there are also numerous unknown graves. And they were just like rocks set in the ground. Someone eventually came along and wrote one, like a little headstone like the one you see. It says, baby unknown. We don't know much. We just knew it was a baby. No one knows the baby's name. It's not written down. And then there's, you know, you'll see unknown. And they won't even write if it's a male or a female. We don't know if this baby's a male or a female. We don't know anything about it. We don't know this baby's name. We don't know how this baby died. We don't know. These unknown graves are this way. And the cemetery's filled with them. And I remember thinking as I was walking the cemetery, as a teenager, I was just all by myself. And my goodness, you want to do some thinking, go walk a cemetery. You ever walk a cemetery? It will put you in some thought, right?
Yeah.
My goodness. I said to myself as I was walking that cemetery, it's so sad that nobody remembers this person.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I wish I knew you. I'd look down like I would talk to one. I was like, I wish I knew you. I wish I knew. I wish I could write down your name. Everyone who knows this person, if anyone ever knew this person, they're gone. And they didn't write it down. Nobody knows who this person is. And it was like this like bummer, sad moment. But I remember how I felt. I felt goosebumps when I felt the Lord speak to me. The Lord said, I still remember them.
Yeah.
I still know them. And I've just felt like, whoa, you know, the hairs on my hands, just my hands. I've got hairy hands. Hair on my arms just stood straight up. I felt the Lord so strongly. God, they are unknown to me, that person there, but they are not unknown to God. If everyone on the face of the planet forgets you, you are still remembered by God. If anyone who knows you is no longer around, you are still intimately known by God. And being buried in an unknown grave is not nearly as important as being buried with Christ.
Yes.
Those unknown graves, if those people inside that grave were buried with Christ, doesn't matter where they were buried, because they're only borrowing that temporary piece of ground. Because they, if you're buried with him, you will rise with him. Buried with him in baptism, wherein we rise to newness of life. And one day, God is going to call that person forward, and they will come up out of the ground. It's unknown to you and me, but it has never been unknown to God. The past is important to God. He is just as present in the past as he is in the present. Weird thing to wrap your mind around, but we aren't in the past, but God is. The past is his presence. He's present in the past. What about the future? He's there too. Because God lives outside of the confines of time. He is everywhere at once, including time. He's everywhere. The past is important to God. Perhaps we living in the year 2018 should care more about the past than we do. Because inheritance is rooted in the past. But that's not all. Inheritance is rooted in the past, but looks forward to the future. Are you with me today? Inheritance is rooted in the past, but it looks forward. Inheritance is a gift from the past going to support future efforts. Some of you have received inheritance. You've received money that somebody earned in the past, and they put it in a savings account in the past, and it sat there. But it was always looking forward to the day when it would arrive in your hands, and then you would spend it on the down payment for your house. But it's rooted where? In the past, but it doesn't just stay in the past. See, that's what's so powerful about an inheritance. It doesn't just stay in the past. It's rooted there, but it looks forward, and it will bless your future. You better believe this is a biblical idea. All the patriarchs left blessing and inheritance to the next generation. Old Father Abraham left behind a blessing and inheritance for his son. His son's name was? We'll do an Old Testament survey if we don't know. What is Isaac? What is Abraham's son's name? Isaac, right? He left a blessing and an inheritance to Isaac. This gift helped Isaac do what? Build a life. Isaac left inheritance to his sons, two of them. One of them was very hairy. He probably had hair on his hands. His name was Esau, and his other brother was Jacob, right? Jacob left inheritance and blessing to how many sons? 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes of Israel. These sons became a nation just a little removed from Abraham. Remember, God says to Abraham, hey, I'm going to make you a mighty nation. Abraham's looking like, me, my wife, and my unborn child? That's a nation? Right? See, he never saw the promise, but he rooted something called an inheritance. He put it forward into the hands of Isaac. Isaac worked this gift, and then he rooted it, and he looked forward to his son Jacob, and then Jacob took it, he worked it, he rooted it, and he gave it forward to 12 sons, and in just a few chapters, they are a nation. Where would they be without an inheritance? What if each of them had to start over and over again? What if Abraham just said, you know what, I made this money, I'm just going to live it how I want to. I earned all this stuff, I'm going to live it like I want to. And Isaac, you just depend on yourself. You see, that rollover effect, that blessing to the next generation in a few generations went from a man wandering around in a tent to a mighty nation that the Pharaoh of Egypt was afraid of. That's the power of inheritance. That's the power of inheritance. The gift of an inheritance from a previous generation propels the next generation forward. Inheritance is rooted in the past, but it always looks forward to the future. You see, you have to have both. In this day and age where we're just living in the now, baby, carpe diem, seize the day. It's all about today. I want to give you the biblical understanding that you need to root something in the past. Remember the old paths and walk therein, the Bible says. You need the past, but you can't just live in the past. You got to be looking forward to the future. You are supposed to be the bridge to the next generation. You are supposed to be the source of blessing for your children and to the next people. The next person that walks into Redemption Church, you are supposed to be the bridge of blessing to that person, the bridge of discipleship to that person. But are you just living in the now? If you're only living in the now, you're probably going, when is this sermon going to be done? Are you living in the now? Inheritance is rooted in the but looks forward to the
future.
Proverbs 13 and 22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children. Is that what it says? A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. I want you to get this picture. That how forward looking is inheritance in God's plan. That you don't just leave it to the person right behind you, but you are actually thinking about the generation that hasn't even been thought of yet. That you're not just thinking about your kids, you're thinking about your kids' kids. Do you realize that you have to live a disciplined life to do that? Because you have to have enough to give one generation. But God wants to bless you so much that you could give to multiple generations. Do you believe that God can do that? Do you believe that God could bless you in such a mighty way that you bless multiple generations?
Yes.
Get that in your heart. Why don't you start praying that way? If your finances are in a wreck, this is your wake-up call. You need to start living differently. We have something around here called Financial Peace University. Talk to us about it. We'll pray with you about it. We'll study. But I want you to start living life past the now. Some of you, you're only thinking about, my goodness, the first of the month is coming. The first of the month is coming. If you can't get past the first of the month, you will never look past that to an inheritance for your children. That's some good preaching. It's good. The many people in the world are trapped there. God wants to take you much further than the first of the month. My goodness, are the majority of our prayers, God, just get me past today. God, just get me past tomorrow. God, just get me past the first of the month. God can take you so much further than that. Who knows that my God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory found in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Not just an inheritance to your children, but your children's children, your grandchildren. God wants us to be forward-looking. He wants us to be working for the future and not just the present. God wants you to look further. Further than today. God wants you to think generationally. God is calling you to do more than receive blessing. He is calling you to be a blessing. So I got to ask you, are you leaving behind an inheritance? Ask that out loud. Say it out loud. Are you leaving behind an inheritance? Our society hardly ever looks past the present. We earn our paycheck and then immediately consume it. By the next time we get that next paycheck in 2 weeks, we've already consumed the last paycheck. It is all consumed. 2 weeks worth of work gone, none of it saved for the future. Everything is rooted in the present, and everything looks to the present. That's how the world lives. An inheritance is rooted in the past, but looks past the present to the future. That means in order to leave an inheritance, you have to sometimes say no to yourself in the present. No. You aren't going to go on a shopping spree. No, you are going to push the little X on that browser that closes Amazon. No, you are not going to use that credit card to buy fast food. No, say no to yourself. Practice real quick. Say no.
No.
Say no.
No.
No, you got to learn how to say no to yourself.
Amen.
Got to learn how to say no to yourself. My goodness. How you spend your money will affect the inheritance you leave to the next generation. How you spend your time will affect the inheritance you leave to the next generation. How you prioritize everything in your life,
yeah,
it's going to affect what you leave for the next generation. We are living in a time where when fewer in the next generation will receive an inheritance from the current generation. The majority will not even be ready for retirement. So we're not. If you're not ready for retirement, you definitely aren't ready for inheritance, right? If we aren't looking forward enough to be ready for retirement, we will not be ready for leaving behind an inheritance. Does this make sense? Oh man, most of Americans, the large majority of Americans, have like less than $1,000 saved. They have zero idea what they're going to do for retirement. It's a good thing that the government is always there to protect us and take care of us. And the government never falls short, right? It's a good thing. Sarcasm, absolute sarcasm. The government's not going to take care of you, sweetheart. You need to learn how to do things correctly, say no to yourself, root yourself in something, look forward the future, and start building your life. No one else can build it for you. The majority aren't ready for retirement. Why is that? Well, they have not been looking forward, or they haven't looked far enough further into the future. I want to tell you real quick, I want you to definitely know inheritance is much more than money. Oh man, it sure is. You can leave behind knowledge to the next generation. Raise your hand if somebody ever gave you a talking to that saved you from a lot of grief. You can leave behind good habits and a model of good character to the next generation. Were you ever blessed with somebody you thought, my goodness, I was so glad to have them in my life? Well, they taught me a thing or two about how to live for God, about how to get up early in the morning and get to work, how to not sit around and cry. I think my grandfather, was so generous, and I learned so much about generosity from my grandfather. I'm so thankful for that man. You can leave behind your faith to the next generation. Now, I want to tell you, fewer and fewer people are leaving behind inheritance. There are even some people who've made big news. Simon Cowell, raise your hand if you know who Simon Cowell is. He's one of the judges on American Idol, X Factor, something like that. British guy, he made a big to-do in the media when he said, I am not going to give my kids a dime for the inheritance. I've got millions of dollars, but I won't give them millions of dollars. I might give them like 20%, 10% of what I've given, but I'm going to give the rest to something else. He's not going to give that inheritance to others. And I'm sorry, really, I feel bad for those kids. Not that they could just rest on their laurels with all that money, but that it helps them build for the future. Yeah. But can I tell you, in a very spiritual way, we aren't leaving a spiritual inheritance for our kids. All the time I hear parents say, you know, I'm not going to tell my kids about Jesus Christ. I'm going to let them figure it out for themselves. You are just like Simon Cowell, not giving an inheritance to the future generation. You know what? I'm just going to let them figure it out for themselves. I don't want to influence their future. Are you kidding me? If you don't influence their future, somebody else will. Somebody's going to stand right into that. You don't tell them about how God saved you, how God healed you, how God made a way when there was no way. Well, let me tell you, the college professor, he will tell them. He'll tell them. Amen. Get to talking. Leave behind an inheritance. My goodness. I want to tell you real quick. I ask you, are you leaving behind an inheritance? The truth is, you are leaving behind an inheritance. The father that never thought about his kid's future, that father did leave behind an inheritance. Those kids grew up with the heritage of a diminished self-worth. He didn't have to do a thing to do it. And guess what? Those kids, are they likely to pass that inheritance on? Yes, they are. The mother that was too busy with her phone, that mother did leave behind an inheritance. The next generation received a heritage of apathy and procrastination. Are they likely to pass that inheritance onward? Yes, they are. The family that never went to church, never opened their Bible, never prayed, never talked to God, they did leave behind an inheritance. The next generation received a heritage of carnality and zero spirituality. Are they likely to pass that inheritance onward? Oh, you bet they are. It's rooted in the past and it's looking forward to the future. You don't have to call it an inheritance for it to be inherited. The person with the terrible temper, they're leaving behind an inheritance. The person with the tendency to gossip and tear others down, they are leaving an inheritance. The person who is lazy and unmotivated is leaving behind an inheritance. The person who is abusive is leaving behind an inheritance. The person who's materialistic and greedy is leaving behind an inheritance. The unforgiving person is leaving behind an inheritance. You are leaving behind an inheritance. The question is not, will you leave behind an inheritance? The question is, what inheritance will you leave behind? Single person, I'm talking to you. You are right now leaving behind an inheritance. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor Chris. We don't have kids and we're not planning on having kids. I'm still talking to you. Married couple, that is never planning on having kids, I'm talking to you. You are right now storing up an inheritance for the next generation. You're affecting other people. Inheritance is more than just tangible and taxable goods. You know, the IRS loves inheritance. They love to sink their little claws into it, get Uncle Sam's worth, right? But inheritance is so much more than that. We often overlook the power of, say it with me, spiritual inheritance. Say it, spiritual inheritance. I want to read to you a story in the Bible. 1 Kings, we see the kingdom of Israel go in a transition from King David. Anybody know his son's name?
Solomon.
So it goes from David to, say it with me, Solomon. We're learning some Bible. Solomon had a son. His name was Rehoboam. So say the three names with me. David, Solomon, Rehoboam. They're all kings of Israel. This is David talking to his son Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, act like a man. That ought to be somebody's life verse. I know some dudes that need to read that one. Be strong, act like a man. That's not being chauvinistic. It's not being misogynistic. It's nothing like that. It's being strong. It means that you're going to fight. It means that you are not going to give up so easily. Verse 3, moving on. And observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Verse 4, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me, if your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Who received this promise? David received the promise. From who? From God. Now David is handing the promise to Solomon, his son, and says, if you do this, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. Solomon received more than a throne and a crown from his father David. You see it? You see that? Solomon received the promise of God from a previous generation. Oh my goodness, I'm so thankful that the promises of God are yes and amen. I want to tell you something, that if your great-grandmother received a promise from God, it's your promise. Look at somebody, say, it's your promise. It was David's promise, and David says, it's not just my promise, it's your promise. Abraham received the promise, but Isaac also received the promise. Jacob received the promise. Joseph and his other 11 brothers received the promise. And we, by faith, are spiritual children of Abraham. The promise is ours, too. I'm not talking about just taxable goods here. I'm talking about a spiritual inheritance. There is such a thing. There is a spiritual inheritance. Solomon received the promise of God from a previous generation. David handed his son a spiritual inheritance. Solomon didn't do anything to receive that inheritance. I want you to get a load of that. What has he done up to this point? He wasn't even the king yet. He had not done a single thing yet. He'd not built the temple of God yet. He hadn't made any of his wise decisions. In fact, God hadn't placed his wisdom on him yet. He had done nothing to receive this inheritance, but it's a spiritual inheritance. You see, you don't have to do anything to receive an inheritance. Somebody was rooted in the past and looked forward to you and said, here's a gift. Here's a gift. You don't have to do anything to receive a gift. You just receive the gift. This inheritance was rooted in the past, but it looked forward to the future. Fast forward to the end of Solomon's life. Fast forwarding. A man named Jeroboam. Now, this is where the Bible always gets confusing, because Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they're not related at all. I remember growing up going, they're probably twins. You know how everybody names twins rhyming names? Yeah. Jamie and Amy, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. No, they are not related at all right? Not related at all. That's just what I always thought. A man named Jeroboam is walking around. I don't know where he's walking, but a prophet approaches him. His name is Ahijah, and it's in 1 Kings chapter 11. This is the word of prophecy right here. 1 Kings 11, 31. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand. That's important. Remember it. And give you, Jeroboam, 10 tribes. Is Jeroboam the son of Solomon?
No.
No relation. Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Verse 32. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. Verse 33. I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites. Isn't the name of Jesus so much prettier than all those names? Who loves the name of Jesus in this place? I love the name of Jesus. These names give me the creeps. All right. The god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. Verse 34. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hands. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of who?
David,
my servant, whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and decrees. I want you to understand that Rehoboam received the throne and crown of his father Solomon. But that's not all he received. He received a spiritual inheritance. Not every spiritual inheritance is good. In the next chapter, Rehoboam loses 10 of the 12 tribes to Jeroboam, just like the prophet Ahijah said. The kingdom of Israel is split in two. When you read chapter 12, there are some bad decisions that Rehoboam makes. We could talk about the pride issue. You could point out Rehoboam's pride. You could point out that he received the wrong counsel. I've heard many Bible studies done on that chapter, and all of those things are legitimate points. But it's not the real cause. The real cause was the spiritual inheritance of his father, Solomon. The Bible, the prophet didn't say, because of the bad decisions of Rehoboam in the future, I'm going to rip the nation out of his hands. No, it said that he is going to tear the nation, the tribes, out of the hands of who?
Solomon.
What we are dealing with is a spiritual inheritance. Understand this. Rehoboam experienced loss because of a previous generation's actions. Do you understand how important your actions are today? You are making decisions right now that could alter the future of someone's life. You could set them back in a terrible, terrible way. God could actually come up to that life and rip things away from them, saying that he's ripping them from your hands. My goodness, this is serious. How important is it that you worship today? How important is it that you get the word of God in your heart? How important is that it is for you to do honest things instead of dishonest things? For you to do loving things instead of bitter, unforgiving things? It is important, not just for you in the present. You are forming an inheritance by rooting yourself right now in what will one day be the past and looking forward to the future. I don't think I'll go to church today. Kids, we just don't feel like going to church today. Rethink it. Rethink it. Rethink it. I'm not just speaking to you because I'm a pastor and I like to see a full house. I'm telling you, you look out. You look out because you are making decisions today that affect tomorrow. Don't you dare take it lightly. God said, I'm tearing the kingdom out of Solomon's hands. It looked like God was tearing the kingdom out of Rehoboam's hands. Rehoboam's on the throne with the crown on his head when 10 tribes walk away from him. It looks like Rehoboam is the one that's losing the tribes, doesn't it? That's what it looks like in the natural. But we aren't dealing with just the natural here. We're dealing with a spiritual inheritance. You see, that's not how God sees it. God didn't see that he was taking the tribes from Rehoboam. He was taking them from Solomon, and he made sure to say it that way. The kingdom was torn from Solomon's hands, and that inheritance was given to Solomon's son. Your actions right now could cause God to rip blessings out of the hands of a future generation. You can leave behind an inheritance that doesn't build. You can leave behind an inheritance that divides. Solomon should have left behind an inheritance that built up Israel. Solomon brought Israel to heights they had never even dreamed about achieving before. Surely that is what he would leave behind. In the natural, you would see that. But in the supernatural, in the spiritual, he left behind something that divides, something that tears down. Instead of blessing, he left behind disobedience. And his son inherited a divided Israel. Poor Rehoboam, he didn't deserve this. He didn't deserve this. This didn't happen because of him. Yet, he received it. But why was Rehoboam allowed to keep the throne at all? Why didn't God take all of it from Rehoboam? Somebody talk to me. Whoa, because of who? Oh, you mean the reason he didn't lose everything wasn't Solomon. It wasn't Rehoboam himself. It was, say it loud, David, his grandfather. Scripture says the son was punished because of his father Solomon. But it also says that God kept him on the throne because of his grandfather David. I want to tell you something. You are receiving blessing in your life. It hasn't all been ripped away from you because of David. Could it be that way for you? Does anybody have a godly someone in their past that rooted themselves and gave a future? I want to tell you today, you are receiving blessings you didn't earn. Rehoboam didn't deserve the kingdom ripped out of his hands, but he also didn't deserve to be there at all. He was receiving it by a what kind of inheritance? Spiritual inheritance. 1 Kings 11:32. Look at it one more time. But for the sake of my servant David. Story my dad said, my dad was completely far away from God. My dad, he tells this story like it is. He was on his way to hell, and he was losing his mind. He was losing his marriage, and he was going to lose his child. He was going to lose it all. And suddenly, out of nowhere, my dad finds himself at the door of our Aunt Billy. Who's Aunt Billy? Well, Aunt Billy lives down near Austin, and he lived in the Waco area. How did he end up there? He has no idea how he ended up there. He just knew he was that messed up and that out of his mind. The enemy was doing a work on him. He was losing every bit of his life, his livelihood. He ends up at that doorway of a pioneer, of somebody who was rooted in Jesus Christ. Who had decided, no matter what comes, I'm living for Jesus. And I'm going to tell the whole world about him. My Aunt Billy. Oh, thank you, Lord, for an Aunt Billy. And Aunt Billy was like, Clyde, what are you doing here at this hour of the night? And my dad, he is out of his skull right now. He is in a bad spiritual place. She brings him in. Calls his mom, also prayer warrior. She comes down there, all down there. They are praying over my dad, and he finally gets tired, and he goes into this back room, and he lays down in the middle of a dark room, and out of nowhere, my dad woke up. He woke up because something was pressing so far down on him, pushed him like into the bed, and it was God. I want to tell you that God knows how to get your attention. God loves you. After all the tomfoolery Clyde Flute was doing, he wasn't forgotten because God doesn't forget no one. Amen. He doesn't forget. And God pushed him down in the bed, and God said these surprising words to him. He's never forgotten them. God said this, only for the prayers of your mother would I do this for you. And he lifted up out of the bed immediately in his right mind. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that story. Yeah. Amen. I'm thankful for a praying mom. Yeah. I'm thankful for a spirit-filled Aunt Billy. And I'm thankful for a God who never forgot a single prayer. You realize how powerful prayer is? Yeah. Prayer is, I think, the only thing that doesn't have an expiration date. When you look in the book of Revelation, it talks about these bowls or these vials. And if you read it, it says that they are filled with what? The prayers of his saints. And it says that God takes those things, those bowls, those prayers, and he pours them out. I want to tell you that you are blessed not because you deserve it, Rehoboam. You are blessed not because you deserve it, Solomon. You are blessed because there has been a generation storing up an inheritance of spiritual things, and God in his grace has poured them over you. It's true. Don't you take this like a joke. It's absolutely true. It's one of these things that you can't prove, but one day you'll go to heaven. He'll show you the video of it all, and you'll be, whoa, it's only by his grace. Whoa, I didn't deserve that. Thank you, Lord, for an inheritance. I thank you, Lord, for a Clyde Fluitt giving me an inheritance. I thank you for a Hazel Fluitt giving me an inheritance. I thank you for an Eddie Fluitt given me an inheritance. I'm so thankful for it. My great grandfather, Eddie Fluitt, received the baptism of the Spirit in a time in the early 1900s when people would think you would call you crazy, when people would attack those Brush Arbor meetings and throw things at people and call them insane. But he showed up there one night, and God filled him with the Holy Spirit, who I am today. I've not earned it myself. I've earned an inheritance, and now here I stand. Chris Fluitt, are you going to root yourself? Are you going to root yourself right now in the things of God, and will you look forward to the future? One day you're going to be a grandfather yourself, a great grandfather yourself. Are you going to bring a spiritual inheritance to them. Oh, let's get real. Maybe we need to watch a little less Netflix, y'all. Maybe we need to see a few less movies. Maybe we need to look at a little bit more of the Word of God. Maybe we need to take our children and bend down on our couch at night and pray in the Spirit. Maybe we need to be spiritual people. If you want to have a spiritual inheritance that's full of the things of God, you must be a spiritual person. Anybody want to be a spiritual person? Why don't you ask the Lord right now, God, make me a spiritual person. My goodness, God deals with me that sometimes. I can tell you some stories. Here's one story. I walked into a place. I felt like I was supposed to go in there. I talked to this pastor, and I just felt encouraged, and I, you know, said something nice to him, and I walked out, and the Lord said this: "You mean you're not going to pray for that man?" Like, I thought you were a spiritual person. This is what the Lord says. I walked back in there and I prayed with that man. Wouldn't you? Let's be spiritual people. Amen. Spiritual people leave behind a spiritual inheritance. Rehoboam sat on the throne because of who? David. Rehoboam sat on the throne of David because of the spiritual inheritance of David. Oh, where would Rehoboam be without a David? Oh, where would we be without a spiritual inheritance? Don't you know that when God sees you, He sees further than you? He sees your future, but He also sees your past. Those genealogies, He sees every bit of it. When God sees you, He also sees that your mom never stopped praying. When God sees you, He also sees your father who was faithful. When God sees you, He also sees the promises He made to your patriarch that others have forgotten. When God sees you, He also sees the inheritance of righteousness of your grandparents. God wants to bless you today. He actually wants to just bring all that inheritance over upon you today. He wants to do it not because of you. You receive that real quick. God wants to bless you today. Oh, you don't understand. I don't deserve. It's not because of you. God doesn't want to bless you because of you today. Isn't that amazing? Because of the spiritual inheritance that was handed to you. Remember, we're talking about the God of Elijah and Elisha. And because Elisha was there to receive that mantle, he received what? Double the miracles, double the anointing. That's our God. When I look at my past, I see a heritage that has been handed to me. I know that God is not using me today simply because of me. When I look ahead to the future generations, somebody say future generations. I see some sons that need to receive a spiritual inheritance of righteousness, faith, joy, and the Holy Ghost. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Lord, let me leave behind a spiritual inheritance that reaches past me, past my children, and reaches multiple generations. That's my prayer today. My prayer for Redemption Church. Lord, let Redemption Church, let us reach past ourselves. Let's reach another generation. And Lord, allow us to reach multiple generations. I love this verse. While I was studying this week, almost came unglued in a Starbucks. Psalm 102, verse 18. Look at this verse. Let this be written for a future generation. They had no idea it was written for you today. Let this be written for a future generation. Can we stop there for one moment? Lord, let this sermon be for a future generation today. Let my worship, let my calling in you be for a future generation today. Next time you receive your paycheck, why don't you hold it up and say, God, let this gift not just be for me, let it be for a future generation. Let this be written for a future generation. These are just scribblings on a page. But God, can you keep them? And can you take them past me? Even after I'm long dead in the grave, could your word go to a future generation? Here we are. You better know it's possible. Here we are. It's absolutely what God wants to do. Then the second half of it, like I was already having church when I read the first half, right? My goodness, I almost spilled my chai latte all over the place. The second half of Psalm 102:18, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. Lord, let me do something today that someone that's not even born would be born and praise you. That I would reach, you can't do that if you never reach past yourself. You can't do that if all you ever focus on is the now. If you are not into the things of God, you'll never do this. Let this be written for a future generation that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. I'm not just preaching for you today. I'm preaching for a future generation. I'm not just praying for us today. I'm praying for a future generation. I'm not just worshiping for me in the moment, for us in the moment. Worship team, we're not just worshiping in the moment. No. I am praising God for a future generation that a people yet not created may praise the Lord. I want everybody to stand. We're about to open up these altars today for a time of prayer. We do three things every time we come. We keep it simple. We've worshiped God together today. We've received the word of God together today. I hope you felt that this was from God today. I've really felt it today. The third thing we do, it's up to you to do right now. We're going to talk to God. And I encourage you, I challenge you to pray, talk to Him today. I encourage you to take a step from your chair. I encourage you to do it now. Why take this step? Why don't you just humor me and say it like this, that you taking a step today is you receiving the Word of God. That you taking a step today means that you really believe it. These altars are open. Why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? As you come, I want to ask you this final question. Are you building a life worth inheriting? Are you building a life that could help the future generation? Are you building a life that somebody one day says, my goodness, I'm so thankful for, and they say your name? Building a life worth inheriting, I believe it takes place in this altar today. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you pray for a future generation? If you don't have kids, that's all right. Pray for a future generation. You have kids, they aren't here, that's all right. Pray for them right where they are. Pray for them right now. Pray for a future generation. Pray for your church. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray that what you're doing right now doesn't just die in this moment, but it goes forward into tomorrow, that it goes further than just one generation, that it reaches further to multiple generations. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for a spiritual inheritance in this place, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that people would think about it, that people would embrace your move right now in this place, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would be people of spiritual worth, that we have a spiritual encounter with you, that we'd be bold people that reach forward and speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would not be just focused on the present, not just feeling guilty about the past, but that we'd be rooted in something strong enough to reach forward, reach further, reach multiple generations in the name of Jesus. And also, God, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you, Lord. I have blessing in my life that I never earned. It is given to me out of the faithfulness of a previous generation. Lord, like you told Israel when they crossed over, that they will have cities they did not build, that they will have harvest that they did not plant. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it. I believe it, God. All good things come from you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you want special prayer in this place, I encourage you, come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray for you. God is going to do something spiritual in your life. Come, come right now in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.